So looking for that perfect wave, you've got the happy surfing wave. That is the actual sound of surfer Laird Hamilton riding a wave known as Teahupo. It's the sound of the wave itself, kind of benign sounding. It's still huge, but then there's those boat-killing, mean waves. The overdramatic, too long, too insane scene from
Clooney-killing wave.
Right, Clooney-killing wave, right? The perfect storms wave, which actually took out a boat. And the issue of serious rogue waves is a real one, and it forms the basis of a new book, The Wave, In Pursuit of the Rogues, Freaks and Giants of the Ocean. It's written by Susan Casey, who joins us. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have in the studio, and I'm really kind of trembling here, Laird Hamilton, professional surfer, big wave surfer, the man who is probably credited as being the best big wave surfer in the universe, is sitting right here in the studio. Laird, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You say that so calmly.
I'm calm right now. There's no waves.
Yeah, right. The takeaway is pretty boring compared with riding a 100-footer. Susan Casey, congratulations on this book. It is a fabulous page-turner. I describe it as kind of the perfect storm meets sunscreen. What fascinated you about these waves as a force of nature, scientifically and culturally?
Well, one of the things that really fascinated me was the fact that we really didn't know very much about this force of nature, which I think, when you consider it, outside of the sun is probably one of the more powerful things on our planet. And so here it is, the ocean's 71% of the world. And these, 800-foot ships are being taken out. And it was only, 15 years ago or 20 years ago that scientists finally realized, oh, there are these 100-foot waves and they can come out of a 40-foot sea and they're disappearing these ships. It's like, wait a minute, we can split the atom and we don't know this?
Can you give me a sense of the scale? Taking out a container ship with not a trace, it requires a force of what?
Well, I mean, it's hard to even, I think actually Laird can really speak to the force of a 100-foot wave better than I can, but these ships don't even have a chance to send a mayday. A lot of the times, it's just like it just disappeared. There was no time. And what they discovered ultimately, and of course in the book I went to Lloyd's of London to try to learn more about it, was that there these hatches on the deck get breached. And then once those hatches are breached, the cargo fills with water. And the guy at Lloyd's of London described it as just, a snapped pencil. And they basically just powers itself to the bottom of the ocean in minutes.
Giant plates of steel found to be snapped like a pencil, and that's sort of the forensics that are left from these ships that mysteriously go down. And part of the story of The Wave, In Pursuit of the Rogues, Freaks and Giants of the Ocean, is your quest as part of a surfing campaign to seek out and ride the first 100-foot wave, Laird Hamilton. I mean, somebody came to you and said, let's ride a 100-foot wave. You're like, sure, let's do that. I'm leaving tomorrow.
No, this is something that's been in me from my childhood. I was born with this desire, and then I was just fortunate to be in a situation where I was around, great big wave riders, and I was around the most rugged waves in the world, and I grew into the man that was meant to do this type of stuff.
Is that something a pediatrician told your mom? Sorry, your son has this desire from birth.
An implant.
Right.
Well, it's not that simple. I wish it was, because I could maybe take it out and save me a lot of grief.
Well, let's get a sense of what's it like to ride a 100-foot wave.
Well,
do you get there?
It's a lifelong pursuit where I describe it like the fire department, where it's going to be a big one. You just don't know when it is, and you got to be prepared. So
you got to fly around the world, and you got to go on jet skis, and you got to get to the wave and predict that it's going to happen at the exact right moment.
Well, and then have the years of experience, and we don't get a lot of opportunities. So to develop a skill at riding giant surf takes, 20, 30 years of pursuit.
What is it about Laird that is characteristic of this subgroup culturally that you studied in your book, Susan Casey?
Well, nobody would even be on these waves that are bigger than 40 feet if it wasn't for the fact that Laird and a group of other men on Maui invented the means to do so. So they invented their own sport, which, I actually a lot of the times think of the big wave riders as, surfers what astronauts are to pilots. So I'm interested in the notion of any kind of extreme, particularly when it involved the ocean. And Laird, I felt, was the person who could take me the deepest into that world. It's a pretty dangerous pursuit. I trusted his abilities to, you know, to come back from these waves. And, you know, I feel like I was in the epicenter of everything that's happening in that world when I was on Maui.
But what is the value of it, Laird? You know, I mean, we just had the, I mean, surfers die, and Noel Robinson just died this year south of Acapulco. This is something where you could lose your life. Is there something bigger than just that thrill you feel as you're riding the wave that makes it worth risking your life?
Well, I think it's almost an indescribable experience and sensation, I can only say that it's probably the most alive that I've ever felt in my life. I feel like this is what I'm here to do. It's a relationship with nature, where, you know, with the ocean, that where we're from. I mean, we come from the ocean. We're part of the ocean. The ocean is our life, you know, our lifeline on Earth. And so to have a relationship with the ocean, this is the ultimate relationship with the ocean. This is this is Mother Nature in all her majesty.
But Laird, I've heard you say on other programs that, you know, embrace your dreams, that's part of what your life is about. And I guess in your case, embrace your dream, even if it can smash you to jelly. What is it about the force that you actually feel when you're skimming down that wave in the middle of a tube like that?
Well, you feel all encompassed. You feel like you're that there's no distraction. There's not even a moment of there can't be any hesitation, but there's no distractions. You're in, you know, I tell somebody it's where time doesn't exist. There's no time. There's no beginning and there's no end. There just the is. It's the is of the moment of being on the wave and focusing on what you need to do.
Susan Casey, were you convinced that this was more than just the diversion of some folks with the wherewithal to fly around the world and do something crazy?
Yeah, I definitely believe. I mean, I get asked a lot of the times, are these guys insane and why are they doing this? And I think that that there's a passion involved to get somebody out into any kind of extreme in nature, to climb Everest, to go into space, anything like that. And if you have that, you don't really have a choice but to follow that through and do it as well as you can. And I also think that when they get into those situations, this notion, as Laird said, of being in the moment, I mean, that's a feeling that people spend 30 years in a cave meditating for. And I think the other bonus is the body releases some pretty potent chemicals when you're in an extreme situation. And I think that's a pretty big rush. And I certainly felt it myself at times.
How close did you get, Susan Casey?
I got pretty close. I mean, Laird took me down the front of Jaws, which was the big wave in Maui. I moved to Hawaii to work on the book, and we saw some really pretty impressive waves.
Well, the book is called The Wave, In Pursuit of the Rogues, Freaks, and Giants of the Ocean. Susan Casey is the author. Laird Hamilton, a professional surfer, big wave surfer, who actually has experienced exactly what this book is about, is one of the main characters. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck.
And we have breaking news, actually. Iran's English language state television has just reported that American Sarah Sherrod has been released after spending more than a year in prison there. We're going to have more details about her release later the show. No word yet on whether her bail was actually paid. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Keep track of all the politics taking place today at thetakeaway.org. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.